Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming, delightful, and slightly exasperated old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Ryder. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Well, despite the fact that it is 40 below with a 70 below wind chill up here on the Arctic coast, I'm surprisingly warm, as apparently the thermostat in my hotel does not go below 90.
Oh, so it's a sauna.
I think it's really funny that it is so cold outside, and I've got the window wide open, and I'm still sweating. Our car didn't even start this morning. It was that cold.
It got pretty cold here in Minnesota, too. I think it got to like 18 below one of the last
heat waves. A heat wave.
Well,
y'all a bunch of pussies down there.
We got a potpourri of stuff because everything in my life's just changing. I start my new job tomorrow. By the time the 1,700 listeners
Whoa. Time out. I happen to know, because as you know, I work with Department of Homeland Security, that you apparently did not leave your previous job, how should we say, unscathed?
Well, they still like me.
They'll probably still give you free popcorn from the floor, but would you care to elaborate for our listeners, or do I have to crack open the top secret file?
All right. So I found out I was going to be able, I found a new full-time job, and I have not had a full-time job since I started this here podcast. Matter of fact, I started this here podcast kind of because I didn't have a full-time job. But when I got my new full-time job, I turned in my notice at the local movie theater, and they were very nice. Well, some of them were very nice. Some of them were kind of catty and snarky, and there were a couple of them who asked what I'd be doing. And when I told them, they said, well, you don't seem competent enough to do that, which was a little irritating to me. But so I gave 2 weeks' notice, and some of the people there were surprised I showed up the day after I gave the 2 weeks' notice, to the point where one of the supervisors said, I thought you wouldn't be here today. And what they did, they decided to take full advantage of the fact that I was going to be around. So I pretty much worked every day the next 2 weeks. They had me deep in the schedule until my last day. And on my last day, I've worked up in the booth, which is where the projectors are, and there's also a CD player that plays the music that you hear when you walk through the hallways. Joe, have you ever heard of a phenomenon called Rickrolling?
Why, yes, I have.
That is where you tell someone, oh, there's this video that's so cool. You've got to see it. And if you, you know, if you've seen a YouTube link, it's, you can't tell what it is before you click on it. And this was a joke from a few years ago where they would go, oh, it's a new Harry Potter trailer. And you'd click on it, and it would be Rick Astley's song, Never Gonna Give You Up. Matter of fact, I'll drop in a sample. So what I did, I put that song on
I remember when they had the Tournament of Roses parade, they did that on some of Cartoon Network float, they stopped, and sure enough, here comes Rick out. So Rick apparently approves of Rick rolling.
Well, of course, he has sold more CDs from Rick rolling than he did when it originally came out. So I put the song on a CD 15 times. And I waited until the more observant manager had left the theater. And I went up into the booth and I took out the CD changer and I put in my CD. And then I put in the regular CD that they have to play that has the horrible music that you hear as you walk up and down the hallways. Which, those of you who don't know, you ever walk up and down those hallways and you hear a song and you go, wow, this song's really bad. I wonder why they're playing that. Somebody paid for that song to be played. So I put that in, then I hit it where it would play my CD, then it would play the other CD. Back and forth and back and forth until somebody discovered it. I come down, and there I hear, Never Gonna Give You Up, playing through the hallways. And it continued to play the entire evening. Now, there were two managers who were out on the floor who I know they could hear it because I walked right by them and you could hear it plain as day. They didn't notice. They didn't do anything. Maybe they weren't paying attention. Maybe they thought that, you know, maybe they've tuned out but the song played. To the point where guests were coming up to the person selling tickets and saying, I think you guys got Rickrolled.
That's beautiful.
And it played, and then, you know, they closed and I had to sign my paperwork, and on the paperwork, you know, you have to sign saying that yes, I'm leaving, blah 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 blah, but it also has a little note there, you know, will hire, will not rehire. So they checked the will rehire, and I said, well, that's very nice of you. And the person who was there with the paperwork said, well, you know, you always showed up on time. You did a good job, blah, 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 blah. And we're impressed with the fact that not only did you work every shift, but you would stay late and you would help the other people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as I walk out, I leave the theater to the strains of Never Gonna Give You Up as I go out the door. I got a text the next day around noon from one of the managers who I have become friends with, who said, awesome Rick Roll. You are the man. Oh, I guess, man. When he came in, he heard the song playing. And then he heard it again. And then he heard it again. And he went up in there and pulled out the little cartridge that the CDs were in and removed it. And came down and got my cell number so he could text me. And at that point, I announced to the world via Twitter, I have Rickrolled my job.
Oh. Ah, what a way to go. I think what's funny is that the one managers wouldn't even think about it. They're just kind of,
They're just,
just tune out the background noise. It don't matter. Let them play.
Now, after my shift was done, the girl I'm seeing and I went down to visit my parents for a couple of weeks. Actually, we were down there 4 days. And while we were there...
Which is the real reason why there's no podcast. Corey had other things to do.
Joe, we were at my parents' house.
I thought it would have been cool if you had, you know, taken your laptop. We could have done a podcast from your parents' house. Perhaps even in the very same room you either had read your first comic or lost your cherry.
Well, Angie was sleeping in the in what used to be my room.
Oh, okay.
And
Still got all your old geek posters up?
Oh, no.
Farrah Fawcett poster that got you through long, lonely nights?
Actually, in my room, I remember I had a Lord of the Rings poster from the animated Lord of the Rings. Yeah. I had, what else was in there? A Frazetta poster. And that was it, because they didn't really have a lot of comic book posters till I went to college.
Yeah.
Now, Marvel didn't There was a time when Marvel published their own posters in the 80s and into the 90s, but I think they've ended that. But there was Marvel posters. Now, in my dorm room, I remember I had a poster that was the cover of Punisher number one, the Punisher miniseries by Mike Zeck. And then I had promo posters from books like Nexus and Badger and what else? Pretty much anything First was putting out. If there was a promo poster, I grabbed it. But while we were there, we went to Galesburg, which is a town of about 5,000 people. And the town's on hard times. Two of the big grocery
hang
stores.
Hang on a second, Corey. I've got breaking news.
Breaking news?
The sun is up in the Arctic. It is peaking itself above the horizon. I've got to go get a picture of this. You keep talking. I'll be back. I promise.
Okay.
Hey, don't let it go down without me.
Anyway, we're in Galesburg. And when I lived in that area, Galesburg had a comic shop. It was the first comic shop I ever went into. I've talked about it on the previous podcast. It was a comic shop with baseball cards and videotapes. And this was back when VCRs cost like $500-$600. You know, back when $500-$600 was real money. You could buy a car for $500. Okay, it wasn't a good car, but you could buy a car for $500. So the comic shop closed, I think, right before I went to college. And then there was another one while I was in college that was in and out. I don't remember it being open very long. But then there wasn't one for a long, long, long time. And my sister told me last year that, oh, this new comic shop opened.
Oh, wow. So is that cool? Oh, man. I can't. The sun actually is up. I'm going to put this on my Facebook right away.
Now, here's my question about the sun.
Oddly enough, the temperature's actually dropped.
What time is it there?
1:20 p.m.
So the sun comes up around 1:20.
Apparently the sun popped up like maybe 10 minutes ago. Somebody told me about it now. It's just a little tiny sliver. Probably about 5 minutes.
Okay. So you went out and you got your
tan. It would have actually come up yesterday, but we had cloud cover, so. Now, here's the weird thing about the Arctic, and I'm sure whatever you were talking about was much more interesting. It's actually been fairly warm the last couple of weeks. I mean, you're talking about temperatures around zero. But now with the sun up, it starts stirring up the atmosphere. So all the super cold air that's been, like, hovering over the poles are not going to be pushing its way south. And you probably are noticing this phenomenon even as you are shivering down in Atlanta or Florida. So it's pretty much going to remain 40 below now for the next week. And then it's going to warm up to a balmy 20 below.
Wow.
I got that going for me, which is nice.
So I had read in the Galesburg paper online that they'd open a comic shop.
Wait a minute. Isn't Galesburg where you first bought your comics a long time ago in a lifetime far, far away? See,
yes.
You think I don't listen to podcasts, but I do.
I'm amazed you listen to me. Now, I needed some work done on my car. And Angie is really into thrift stores. So we went to one of my sister's friends. That's the thing about, small town. Everybody's got a friend who has a car shop. So we drop off my car there. It needs brakes. It needs the oil light is on all the time. And the heater is only on the fan is only on when you turn it all the way up to 4. Remember that. And we go to thrift stores. And Angie and my sister are bonding over cheap clothing. And any of you who go to places like Goodwill or Salvation Army, you need to know that they have something called Dollar Tuesday, where all the clothes with a certain tag are a dollar. They were in heaven. I found a few kitchen gadgets that I don't need and didn't buy, but I went, ooh, kitchen gadgets. I could make the George Foreman grill for $5.
And the best part is if you don't use it, you can bring it to the FallCon and put it at our charity art auction booth. But we'll talk about that later.
We'll get to that when we do plugs.
No, we usually do plugs in the beginning, but we're like way, way into the podcast. Lot to cover, so stop interrupting, Corey. Keep going.
Okay, Joe, I will stop interrupting.
Good.
So after we're done
with
that,
I'm going to go look at the sun again. I'll be back.
My sister says, oh, let's go to that comic shop. So we stop in at the comic shop, and it's really big and really nice. They've got the old... Joe had these stand-up racks that were standalone, and it was, you know, like four racks on the bottom, four racks on top. They had those. They had a bunch of D&D-type games, and then they had a huge rack of magazines. And they had some other stuff, you know, like soda and candy. And they had some books, but not a lot. One of the things about Galesburg is they don't have a Barnes & Noble. They don't have a Borders. So they pretty much had a big bunch of current sci-fi books. And I talked to them for a while. They had a big screen TV showing Star Trek III. And I was smart and didn't get into it because otherwise I would have been there all day. And, you know, asked him how it was going, and the person who was running the store had only been there 2 weeks. And she had come from, I don't remember where she came from, but I said, well, what brings you to Galesburg? And she had been given up for adoption at birth, and then was looking for her birth parents, found her mother lived in Galesburg, and was not doing well. So she moved back to take care of her birth mother. You know, nice shop, all this stuff, tons of Walking Dead, blah, blah, blah. Here's the bad thing. Here's how I know that I buy too many comics, Joe. There wasn't anything in there I was remotely interested in buying. I either had it
That when I visit shops, too, you know, because you go in there and it's like you want to buy something just to support them, but there's nothing you got, you know?
Yeah. And they had no back issues, which I think is a trend. They had no back issues. Then we go to eat, and we eat at this restaurant that I guess opened in 1979, but I didn't hear of when I lived there. And across the street is this place, because it's all the antique stores, right? And one is used in new books and comics. So we decide to go across the street and go in because, hey, they got to spend 5 hours in their thrift stores. I get to spend a few minutes in a comic shop. It's only fair, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you're married, do you get to say that or is it no? By the silence, I'll assume that your wife says no. So we go in and the front area.
Actually, you said it out. I missed the whole question.
Oh, the question is, when you and the wife go places, does she let you go to comic shops after she spends 4 or 5 hours in a clothing store or a store that she's interested in?
Yeah. Once, not to go off on a sidebar, but, you know, we could name it.
What else do we do here?
Sidebar City. I took my wife to Graceland, and we drove the River Road home up to Minnesota. Took a detour into southern Illinois where they have a elaborate wine tour area. You visit 12 different wineries and sample their wares and buy. And I let her sample everything and buy everything. And I was driving, so she didn't have to worry about it. Before we left, I got to go to Metropolis, Illinois. So if you don't know what that is, Google it. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
Anyways, continue. So yeah, I do get, there is a payback. I am allowed. More often than not, she lets me browse the toy aisle at Target while she's off in the clothing aisle.
Okay. So we go into the shop, and there's, you know, the front section is used books. And in the middle are new books. Not a big selection because it's just a little hallway of a store. It's probably about the same size as the second comic shop you own. And then what probably was a back room or a closet or something, you go in there, and they have comics. They have the same selection of new stuff. They have boxes of older stuff. But they had something there I had never seen before, Joe. They had printer's plates. Uh-oh. They had the actual printer's plates. One was from Porky Pig in the late 50s. They were all four of them were from Looney Tunes comics. And one was the first page, so you could see the copyright date and everything. But I had never seen those before, ever. And boy, they wouldn't give out any information on how they got their hands on him either. Which they shouldn't. But I'd never seen, these were the actual plates used for printing those comics. And, you know, they were charging $300 for them, which I thought was a bargain. But I didn't have the new job yet, so I'm not going to be able to buy them. But imagine if they would have had, like, printer's plates from some of the Silver Age Marvel stuff, some of the early Marvel stuff. That could probably sell for more, you know, because they're more rare than the actual comics. It would almost be like buying original art. So that was my trip down to Illinois. Angie and I were in a car. We had to deal with freezing rain on the way down. So normally this trip takes about 6 hours and it took us 10. Then on the way back, it was regular weather, but very, very windy. So it was about 7 hours. So we were in a car together for 17 hours and we still like each other.
And your parents didn't drive you nuts? Oh, that's the important thing. How did the parents react to her?
The parents think she is wonderful. My sisters really like her. And I didn't have enough time to meet up with any of the people I knew down in Illinois because it was just, you know, I'm down there, got the car fixed and back. Now, remember when I said there were four things that needed fixed on the car? They needed the brakes looked at and everything. Now, granted, they had been the one who fixed the brakes about 2 years ago, so lifetime warranty on the pads. There was the fan that only worked when it was all the way on, and the oil light was on all the time. They fixed all of that. Guess how much, Joe?
$352.89.
$160.
I did. Take a number and double it.
Oh, okay. Now, I looked up.
That's why I never bought comics. I always let Mikey do it.
I looked up the same repairs when I was up here before I went down, and it was around $600 to $700. So from now on, all my car repairs, I'm getting it done in Galesburg, Illinois.
Yeah, even if you got to just flatbed that some all the way down there, it'd probably be cheaper.
Yep. Now, this isn't a car podcast. This is a comic podcast. And this here podcast has sponsors. Believe it or not, kids.
Yeah, we do?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
Well, you need to believe it because Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com sponsors this here podcast by giving me a $20 bill every time we do a podcast. It is the web strip of the lowest rated cable news network. And who knows? Keith Olbermann quit on Friday. Maybe he'll show up at Worldwide News. Maybe that's why he quit. He got a job at Worldwide News.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think I could afford Keith Olbermann. But then again, he's out of work. You know, after I was out of work for a while, I'd pretty much do anything. Our other sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the world's greatest web host. They host thousands of web pages, including the Solitaire Rose family of websites, including Mark Evanier's website, including a bunch of web strips that you probably read. DreamHost.com, you need yourself a website. You can have your Facebook and your Twitter and your MyFace and your Friendster and your MyTribe and all those and the LinkedIn and everything, but nobody's going to take you seriously until you have a website. And you can get a website at DreamHost.com. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your order.
And Joe, do you have... Of course, it's never enough time to plan for the upcoming MCBA Spring Con comic book celebration. Of course, it'll be May 21st, 22nd. Oh, yeah. Well, you might not even see Corey at our charity art auction in the booth, but he will be in the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand. This is the big one. If you are looking to be a dealer at one of these cons, the dealer letters went out a couple weeks ago, so I urge you to get a hold of Nick right away. You can contact him at mncba@aol.com. If you are a dealer and you want to get information on getting a table, send them all your information, name, address, phone number, who you are, what you're bringing. Don't just say, hey, send me info. Nick, right now about this time of year, is getting 200-300 emails daily, and no time to play musical emails. Unlike Corey and I, who hardly get any emails at our website, maybe we should mention it. What is our email anyways?
I don't have anything open. I'm on the laptop. The desktop died.
All this drama in our life. Anyways, go find it. It's there. We're there. Now, we decided we're trying not to dwell on bad news, good news, or, you know, too much sad news. We're turning more into a crab-a-thon. And when Corey and I first talked about doing this podcast, we just wanted to talk about, you know, things in the past. There's guys who do podcasts about new stuff, old stuff, interviews. We just wanted to talk about what we've done. I mean, we've both been comic retailers. We've been collecting since, I'm not going to do the math. Anyways.
A long, long
every
time.
Every so often, some sad news comes out that we just have to cover. And I've decided if we're going to do sad news, we're going to have to counterbalance it with happy news. So,
Corey, go ahead.
Cue up the sad news.
It's true.
While you were busy chugging along through flatter than flat Illinois, Archie drops the comic code. Archie was the last surviving member of the Comic Code Authority. And with books starting in February, they've decided to drop the code. I think the last one that dropped them, DC dropped them about a year ago.
DC dropped them last month.
Okay. And then Archie made the decision. They said they made the decision to drop it a year ago, but they announced it when asked in the wake of the DC announcement. So we can close the last clinging particle of the darkest days in comic history, an era that did its best, I'm reading now, to choke the life out of an art form, but it didn't succeed. So that's the sad news.
I want to point something out because the Comics Code gets beat up a lot. And of course, it's going to get beat up by comic fans who are going to say, oh, the Comics Code killed the comics industry. It killed sales. Sales dropped once the Comics Code was put in. No. They have done tons of research into this. Comic sales had been on their way down pretty much since 1950, as were all magazines. You know what was killing them, Joe?
What's that?
That big one-eyed monster in your living room, the TV set. Once TVs became affordable enough that people could have them in their house, pulp magazine sales plummeted. Book sales plummeted. Comic sales, but all magazines just started to plummet. Now, the Comics Code came into being in 1954. And for all the talk about how it destroyed comics and everybody had to join up, Dell didn't join it. Dell, they published the Looney Tunes stuff. They published Disney stuff. They had a lot of TV stuff. They didn't submit to the code. They didn't care. What killed comics in the 50s was the fact that there was a huge distributor, and I think it was called American News, went bankrupt. And when they went bankrupt, they were pretty much the main national distributor for comics. That's what killed DC. You know, William Gaines said, oh, the Comics Code hurt us and blah, 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 blah. But when he went to, you know, MAD had been successful as a magazine. He started the Picto Fiction books. And by the second and third issue of each one, they couldn't get them distributed. He would tell stories about how, you know, he would print comics and they would be bundled up, waiting at the printers, and nobody would pick them up. And his memory was that because the distributor, you know, the stores were scared to put them on the shelves, people have dug into it, and he lost his distribution. Marvel lost their distribution. Ziff Davis lost their distribution. All these companies lost their distribution. DC never had a problem. They put the code in place, their sales weren't affected at all. Why? They distributed their own stuff. And we'll get into, at some later point, I've probably discussed it before, where Marvel eventually had to go to DC and go, could you distribute our books? And DC would say, yep, we'll distribute 8 comics a month. And that's why you had things like Tales to Astonish, which had 2 heroes in it. Tales to Suspense, which had 2 heroes in it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The other thing about the comics code was, after the congressional hearings in front of, I think it was the Committee on Juvenile Delinquency, the writing was on the wall. Congress was going to go after comic books. And if you know anything about politics, when a politician decides we're going to go after an industry that doesn't make a lot of, he doesn't do a lot of campaign contributions and make them the bad guy, they're never going to let it go. They still go after video games. You know, they still go after.
So what you're saying is now that Congressman Micah has got the hots to turn TSA over to private industry for airport screening, I should probably get my resume brushed up too.
I don't know if you should get your resume brushed up, because there are a lot of things that politicians will use as their bad guy, but they don't ever want to actually get rid of them because they need a bad guy. And we're getting way too political on this.
That's why McCain's been beat on Amtrak all these years.
That's right. Because, well, you know, it's government waste, it's government fraud, it's this and that. You have, you know, congressmen who will go about, you know, who will beat on the drum about, you know, this military waste. But yet when it comes to each project, they go, oh, yeah, vote for that. I'm voting for that. But Congress was after comic books. And after the hearings, the writing was on the wall. And the people in the industry got together and said, look, we've got 2 choices. Either Congress is going to come in and they're going to put restrictions on us and maybe even stop us from publishing, or we can regulate ourselves. And they chose to regulate themselves, much like the movie industry did in the 60s. Jack Valenti's job wasn't to create the rating system when he was the head of the MPAA. The MPAA was a lobbying arm. They would go to Congress and talk about how good movies are for you and everything, but they put the rating system in place so that Congress wouldn't go after them as, oh, you're putting out all these movies and small children are going to see these horrible movies with nudity and blah, 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 blah. So rating system, TV was having the same problem. That's why there's a TV rating system now. I imagine there are a lot of kids who can't comprehend a time when there weren't movie ratings. Pretty soon there'll be people who can't comprehend a time when TV shows weren't rated, even though no one pays attention to them.
No, not particularly.
Yeah. So I think the comics code, while comics fans use it as a bully and they use it as a punching bag, without it, I think the industry would have been in a lot worse trouble. Because then when the distribution problems hit, let's see, Congress is regulating things, and we can't get distribution, to hell with it, we're not going to publish these things anymore. Because even back then, you know, even with comics selling 200,000 and 300,000 copies a month, they were chump change compared to the paperback books and the slick magazines and all that.
Yeah.
So DC, the comics code seal had shrunk so small, I hadn't seen it. And let's remember, 2 years ago, in code-approved books, you had people punching the heads off of characters. They'd punch someone in the head, and you'd see the head go flying across the panel. You know, there was constant gore. I don't think anybody at the comics code was even looking at the books anymore. They were just passing them through and taking the check.
So what you're saying is it's not so much sad news. It's just, well, it's about blank and time news.
Yeah. You know, pretty much when Marvel.
Well, then I guess I don't have to tell you my happy news, which is apparently there's going to be a Wonder Woman pilot at NBC this fall. So we'll just save that for some other time.
I do find the person who's in charge of that pilot pretty interesting, though. It's David Kelly. Who does lawyer shows, including one of my favorite shows of all time, Boston Legal. And if you've never seen Constantine.
So if William Shatner ever gets off that blank, my dad says, he could be on Wonder Woman.
There you go. Or maybe Wonder Woman.
Does it just need, or do you think, if you had Linda Carter come as Wonder Woman's mom, I can't even say her name, Queen Appalady or whatever. Thank you. I think that would be kind of a cool nod, unless the queen's going to be a reoccurring character.
I don't see why.
I have no idea what Linda Carter's doing. Maybe she needs a... That would be cool.
Because if you're watching the new V, they have the queen alien. They introduced her mother, played by Jane Badler, who played the head of the aliens on the original V. And it's been kind of fun as they drop really nerdy hints about her. So, So you got that going for you.
Cool.
Well, we are 35 minutes into this here podcast, and we've actually been talking comics for most of it.
I know.
It's kind of
I want to give a shout-out to our favorite gay pro wrestler, who also happens to write Scooby-Doo, Where Are You?, Terrence Greep. I have no idea if he listens to this or not, but I just wanted to let him know that even 300 miles above the Arctic Circle, we are not deprived of his comic book writing genius. Yes, I found a copy with absolutely no comic code on it of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 4. So he's got that going for him.
There you go.
But I did want to talk to you a little bit, Corey, about The Walking Dead. And if you would debut our brand new spoiler alert warning. It's hard to get the guinea pigs to squeak that way. As I mentioned in the last podcast, I am actually reading The Walking Dead Compendium. And I figured one of the reasons I was going to is because apparently the producer of Walking Dead, the series, said as he's retooling the show, he doesn't feel necessarily compelled to follow along with the graphic novel. And, of course, for those of you who read it, this is probably, this is not a big surprise, but for those of you who haven't and are just going off the series, I was pretty shocked at the end of book one because Rick ends up killing his partner, Shane. And in the movie, in the TV show, the Shane's a pretty major character. And I mean, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, okay, it's coming along, and bam! And it pretty much says bam right on the panel he gets shot at. And I was just, like, gobstopped, and I was like, wow. And I'm thinking, well, maybe that's why he's not necessarily going to follow the show. I mean, if you get a strong actor in a strong role, and he happens to be one of the stars, you know, yeah, it would be pretty dramatic if they capped it off, but, you know, I don't know if they're necessarily – I can see why he doesn't necessarily feel I have to follow along in the book. I was curious what you had thought of that. Do you think as a series that weakens it, you know, where you know in the comic, hey, character A dies, that's a major moment, versus on the TV show where they're like, well, we're not necessarily going to do it that way. Does that make it even better? Because now you've got essentially two Walking Dead series you can enjoy. One in the comic and now whatever they make on the TV show.
Well, whenever I go to see a movie or I see a TV show based on a comic or anything like that, I want to take the adaptation as its own thing. I don't want to be one of these fans who, well, Spider-Man has organic web slingers and in the comic they're mechanical. Therefore, the movie is terrible. Thumbs down. No, the movie has to be its own separate thing. The TV show has to be its own separate thing. Stephen King often said when people would come up to him and go, oh, I can't believe what they did. They made a movie of your book and they ruined it. They destroyed your book. And he would just look at the wall. You know, he would look at the bookshelf and go, no, they didn't ruin my book. It's right there. It's right there up on the shelf. And you can take it down and you can read it and everything's fine. So what if they took my short story of Children of the Corn and made 15 horrible movies out of it? You want to read the short story? It's right there. With Walking Dead, the series, I was actually enjoying the fact that, oh, there are all these characters who aren't in the comic because you don't know what will happen with them. There's this going on that's not in the comic. There's this interplay that's not in the comic. So it made it almost a richer experience, especially since the comic is 80 issues in. You know, all these things have happened. It's gone all this far. And as I watched the show, like, well, I could see where they could do parts of it. But then they could change it around and do other things. So I'm excited. The series was very well done.
Yeah, I'm reading... I'm halfway through the storyline where they're actually in the prison.
Yes.
And they just discover, again, spoiler alert, and they... just discover... I mean, I had to actually stop and read ahead because I was so drawn by that character who cut the little girl's heads off and was going after one of the major characters, that I just kind of flipped forward until I saw her again. And now I'm like, you know what? I just realized I like blipped over like 8-10 pages of other stuff until they finally dealt with that. And Rick basically grabs a guy and practically beats the shit out of him. And that's where I stopped reading for the night, realizing I think that's enough for one day. So I had to like put my bookmark back. And, I mean, it's just fun. So I guess if you're going to, like me, I enjoy the hell out of both series. So if you're going to go ahead and read The Walking Dead. I mean, they're going to be two distinct things, and it sounds like it's a lot of fun.
One of the things. Now,
the other one I've got to get a hold of is the Dead World one, because you were big on Dead World. You showed me that, I think, back in the original comic shop, back before I was a zombie convert.
Dead World is a vastly different series, though. Whereas Walking Dead is more like a George Romero.
I remember reading some of it.
Walking Dead is more like a George Romero.
Somebody brought in a collection of Dead World, and I ended up reading it. And I was, again, spoiler alert, I was like reading it, I'm following along character, and all of a sudden, like, a guy who had been the major character suddenly, bam, gets it. And I'm like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And I think that was the original Caliber run, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
I know it's tried to resurface a couple times, but it hasn't caught on anywhere. But I think there are compendiums out there.
Well, you could buy the entire initial run on a single DVD. Because I did that because it would start, and then it would stop, and then it would start, and then it would stop, and then you know, an issue would come out that they had solicited 9 months previous, and then they try to do a restarted image.
Yeah.
And
I think they did an independent somewhere, too.
What it is, they have this idea they want to do with it.
I don't know,
but they're
the
having
one-shots,
trouble.
The graphic novels, the reprints, the trades, the omnibuses, the compendiums, the absolutes, the essentials, the showcase, the director cuts, the definitive, the exclusives, the limiteds. I mean, you should be able to find it in some form.
They're coming out with
the quarter box. I don't know.
IDW coming out with a Dead World omnibus, which is going to collect everything from the restart. And it'll be in one book, and I think Discount Comic Book Service has that book for $9.99. So it's like more than, it's at least half price, and maybe like 70% off. I don't know. I ordered it back when I was poor. And once that's out, Desperado has finally worked out an agreement. They're going to be at IDW, and the series is going to start up again. Huge difference between Walking Dead and Dead World, the zombies are the focus. There's a character called King Zombie, intelligent, can talk. He's able to do magic stuff that brings more zombies in and extra-dimensional beings. And it's more hardcore horror, whereas Walking Dead is more about the people dealing with what's going on.
Which always seems to be an easier way to do the zombie stories.
I'm surprised more people don't do it that way. When I did my first zombie novel back in 2002 for November Novel Writing Month, there wasn't anything out there like that. And it was, I want to deal with this. I want to use zombies as social commentary like George Romero did. And there are a few people who are doing that. But even zombie movies that come out, they're about the gore. They're about the, you know, they're how far over the top can we go? I have an Xbox 360 now. I'm playing Left 4 Dead. And it's basically just a shooter, you know. The zombies are cannon fodder. So, speaking of Walking Dead, we were going to discuss some end of the year stuff till you got sent away. But
yeah,
Diamond has released a whole bunch of year-end information, and we're already 45 minutes into this. So I thought we would go
on the plus side. The plus side is I'm still going to be here through March 30th, so it's not like I'm going anywhere.
So I guess
I was supposed to be home at the end of the month, but I kind of figured I was going to be here.
Yeah, I think you told me if they like you, you get to stay. You should have been a jerk.
Or if they don't, I'm not sure. It's a little confusing as to what actually the parameters are to get stuck here. But
sitting
on the plus side,
punishment.
I did talk to Dover back at Uncle Sven's, and he says probably sometime in February he'll cut through my comic box and send me a care package. So, because I think at the rate I'm going through this Walking Dead compendium, and at the rate the comics are being renewed at the comic shelf up here, I'm going to be running out of comics real fast.
Now, next time we will go into this in a lot more detail. I think next time we'll just devote it to a 2010, you know, looking at what happened in 2010. But I'm going to go through the top 10 graphic novels and trade paperbacks sold through Diamond. Number one, Walking Dead Volume 1. Number two was the Kick-Ass Premium Hardcover. Number three was Walking Dead number 11. Number four was Scott Pilgrim, Volume 6, which I think is pretty amazing because I remember when the first one came out, you had, I think it was at your original shop toward the end, and you'd bought a few and you put it on the manga shelf because you looked at it and went, oh, it's manga, and no one bought it. Nobody bought it.
Yeah.
And then as you were closing,
I bought
it. I
don't survived the initial manga thing because it was, you know, it was one of those things where, like, you either had to buy a lot of it in order to get a critical mass to get people to come to your store, or they just wouldn't come. And
right.
Eventually what happened, I mean, you saw it was at Best Buy, at Barnes & Noble. I think the only person left in town now that even does manga in a very serious vein is The Source.
Right.
You know, they pretty much carry everything. Not just carrying, well, these are the top 10 from each company. You know, I mean, it's still at the big ones like Borders, Barnes & Noble, but we all know they're going downhill.
Yeah, they're doing great. Number five was Superman Earth One, the hardcover, which, you know, that's a pretty phenomenal chart position for an original graphic novel, especially after Marvel and DC have been telling us for the last 20 years that original graphic novels don't sell. Number six is Scott Pilgrim, Volume 1. Number seven is Walking Dead, Volume 12. Number eight is Walking Dead, Volume 2. Number nine is Walking Dead, Volume 13. And number 10 is Scott Pilgrim, Volume 2. So if you take out Walking Dead and Scott Pilgrim, you have one, two other comics.
Now, of those, there's only one that's original material. The rest of it's all just reprints from the comics.
Well, Scott Pilgrim are all original. They
okay.
were never a comic.
So,
they were just
so three,
a book.
Three of the ten.
But I would say that only one out of the 10 was not driven by the fact that there was a movie out. Because Kick-Ass, people picked that up because it was a movie. Walking Dead, the TV series, although it sold well before the TV series. Scott Pilgrim, it didn't sell that well in comic shops before the movie. Superman Earth 1, the only one that didn't have a movie come out. So you want to know why comic shops and comic publishers get excited about having a movie come out? And they put out 15 Thor series and 12 Green Lantern series and 12 Captain America miniseries? That's why.
Yeah. Now, my Watchmen was probably being big on last year's list.
Now, yeah. For individual comic
before
books.
Before that, wasn't it?
No, it was 2009. Because I was, that was my first year of unemployment. So I remember it quite well.
It wasn't
top 10
a very
comic
good
books.
Year.
Number one was Avengers number one. Number two was X-Men number one. Number three was Blackest Night number eight. Number four was Siege number one. Number five was Blackest Night number seven. Number six was New Avengers number one. Number seven was Brightest Day zero. Number eight was Brightest Day number one. Number nine was Siege number two. And number 10 was Batman Return of Bruce Wayne. So whenever you hear comics fans go, oh, I'm so tired of events. I'm just not going to buy them anymore. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine of the top 10 books were either event books or they came out of event books. And I would even argue that X-Men number one was positioned as an event because it was the big Dracula thing. Here's the other thing. Top 10 books and really the top 25 comics, all but a couple were either written by Brian Michael Bendis, Jeff Johns, or Grant Morrison.
Seriously, why do we let these guys have a life? They should just be chained to the desk and just keep writing.
Okay, the other thing you heard last year a lot is, I'm not going to buy $3.99 books. Joe, you've said it. I've said it. And we all, why do comic publishers publish stuff and charge us $3.99? The only book that wasn't a $3.99 book in the top 10 was Brightest Day number one. So,
yeah. Well, they're not stupid. I mean, they're going to take the key characters and toss them all in a $3.99 book. I mean, that's just, and they know we're going to buy it. I mean, we're going to buy Avengers because we're all, you know, I think Avengers is probably more exciting and more coherent than X-Men right now. You know,
but
so naturally, make all the books $3.99.
Spider-Man was $2.99. X-Men was $2.99. Wolverine was $2.99. They're not in the top 10. It's the $3.99 books that are in the top 10. And when we go through even more detail next time, $3.99 books are the ones that sell. So we could talk all we want about what we want, about what we think. But if you're working at Marvel and DC and you look at the numbers, there doesn't seem to be resistance to a $3.99 book when it's a high name talent. When it's Brian Michael Bendis, when it's Grant Morrison, when it's Jeff Johns, when it's Mark Miller. So it's going to be interesting.
Fantastic Four.
That's going to be cool. I'm going to be interested to see how that does. Yeah. I think that's coming out on Tuesday, so it'll be out by the time people are getting this podcast.
Shut up, you.
Here's the other thing. In market share.
Maybe I can buy it online.
Maybe. The top comic book and graphic novel publishers. Marvel comes in at number one. They had a unit market share. That means number of things sold of 43%. 43% of everything sold in a comic shop through Diamond came from Marvel. DC was 34%. Dark Horse came in at 4%, 3.88%. Image, 3.71%. IDW, 3.45%. Dynamite, 2.52%. Boom, 1.77%. Viz Media, 0.68%. We're not even out of the top 10, and we're below 1%. Eagle Moss Publications, who I honestly don't know anything they do, 0.2%, and Avatar Press, 0.5%. And that's your top 10. That's your top 10 publishers. Now, when you look at market share, this is number of dollars spent. Marvel's 38%. That means that their stuff is priced lower. They sell fewer graphic novels. DC comes in at 30.39%. Their market share per unit is 34%. So they do very well in graphic novels. Dark Horse is 5.17% when you get to dollars, which means that most of what they're selling are higher priced books. Same with Image, 4.53%. Of course, think about the fact that they have six of the top 10 trade paperbacks for the year. IDW, 4.08%. Dynamite Entertainment, 2.65%. The one I want to point out, Viz Media, while they only have 0.68% in unit share, they have a 1.42% in dollar share, which means when you take the amount of money people spend on it, it more than doubles. And while a lot of people focus on unit market share, comic shops care about retail dollar share. Joe, would you rather sell 5 copies of Brightest Day number 1 or 1 copy of Superman Archives number 7 at $60?
Yeah. Yep. You call it the old refrigerator blouse argument. My store manager used to tell me at Sears a long time ago. He says, yeah, they make more per unit when they sell a single refrigerator versus selling 100 blouses. But the blouses are what drive the people into the store, so you got to have both.
Yeah. Well, Best Buy's doing that.
Yeah, that's why you can afford to have a copy of Archives sitting on the shelf for a while, because when you sell it, you make that much more.
Yeah.
But what drives you in is the weekly, at least for, you know, guys like you and I who have the habitual habit, you know, are the weekly and monthly comics.
And I think the big thing about that is Marvel is gearing up for another event. You know, they're going to be doing Fear Itself. I've heard DC's got War of the Green Lanterns, and they've got a couple other big event things that are percolating. They've learned that they need the events to drive people into the stores, because once they didn't have a big event, sales dropped 25% from 2009 to 2010 by number of comics sold. Now, that doesn't mean every shop is doing bad. When I stopped in at The Source, I talked to Nick about his sales. His comic sales are up 3%. And when nationwide comic sales are down 25%, and we're in the second year of a pretty bad recession, and this recession hit the kind of people who buy comics harder than most, because they got rid of a lot of the people our age, who are primarily the people who buy comics now. He was able to maintain and grow sales. Going down to Illinois, I can see why. Because those shops, they just, you know, well, it's cool to see comics there. And if I was a comic fan, I'd go, wee, yay. One of the comic shops, they did nothing to draw me in as a casual reader. You know, if you came in and you didn't know anything about comics, guess what? The person behind the counter didn't know anything about comics either. So a lot of shops are like that, or they are the clubhouse effect, which is, you know, they've built up their clientele, and then they never get any new people coming in because it's a clubhouse. Oh, it's where me and my buddies hang out. Now, you had the clubhouse, and you were able to draw casual people because you had such a huge variety of stuff in the shop. The comic shops that are going to survive over the next year or so are the ones that have a very, very diverse product base. I would venture to say that within the next 2 years, there won't be any comics-only shops left. They're going to have graphic novels.
Yeah, I kind of figured that even when I had the big store or whatever. You know, I mean, we always look back and we marvel at the idea when we sold Pogs. I mean, we sold tons of Pogs. You know,
well, and you had candy. Amazing.
And then you had
surge
of magic, the surge of Pokemon. I kind of in the golden age of toys right now, because I mean, for at least action figures, because for a while we were riding that really high. I mean, you couldn't wait to get the next batch of X-Men or Star Wars toys, and now.
Okay, you're fuzzing out a bit.
Yeah, your sun's down now. The vampire polar bears are coming.
So once again, you've wasted an hour of your life listening to us yammer on about funny books, and this was very much an off the cuff episode because we didn't even know we were going to record today. I didn't know Joe was off.
Well, I'm not actually. In about 2 hours, I got to catch the second flight coming in.
Oh, you get two flights a day.
Yeah, and they're about 4 hours apart. So I actually end up with like a 4-hour break.
And they don't make you just stay there and do busy work and sweep the airport and pop popcorn.
Nope, but I do get an 8%. I do get an 8% bump because they split my shift in two. So I ain't complaining.
And you also get a pretty big per diem up there to make up for the $10
yeah. bill. Yep.
And
$10 box of cereal.
When I announced that I'd gotten this new job, a lot of people were saying, "Hey, Corey, what's your first big stupid purchase? What's your first big, you know, crazy thing?" And the joke I always had was, "Oh, I don't know, rent." No, I never had a problem with food. I was always good about that. But, you know, rent. Making sure the cable bill's paid. But I did go out and I bought one silly thing, and I'm very happy with it. I have an Xbox 360 5 years after they came out.
Cool.
And because I haven't played any of the games, I went to a used game store, and it's like all the games that came out at launch that everybody were like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." And they paid $50-$60 for, I paid $5 or $7 for. It pays to be cheap and it pays to wait, people. So my gamer tag on Xbox 360 is Solitaire Rose 23. And for those of you who don't know what a gamer tag is, well, you know, you probably don't care.
True.
So if I'm online, I'm probably playing Left 4 Dead. I'm shooting zombies.
Well,
so,
they asked to be shot.
Well, they're zombies. I mean, that's what they're made for. So you wasted another hour of your life.
He should speak up and say something.
That's right. You've wasted an hour of your life listening to us yammer on about funny books and trips to Illinois.
And we did some good yammering.
Yeah, we did. I'll probably only have to edit a little bit of this show.
Still doing it. Yeah.
And remember that the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.